Hello and welcome to Inspiration Sounds, stories from the heart of the world. I'm your host for the show, Budsamudra Knox, and you're listening to episode 5. I'm delighted to introduce to you my special guest for this episode, Kanla Awa, who has kindly joined me here in our Vienna studio for this recording. Kanla is an accomplished musician on both Indian sitar and guitar, and has given concerts of Sri Chinmoy's music all over Europe. So today, he will be providing us with some live accompaniment to the stories. The chosen stories for this episode are some of my favourites, for their depth of meaning, along with the strength of individual characters. It's remarkably touching. In these stories, Sri Chinmoy really brings forth the threads of human understanding and compassion that unite us all. So to our first story, which, as promised at the end of our last episode, is a true story about one of the great emperors of the past, Baba, the first Mughal emperor of ancient India. It's called Baba's Heart of Forgiveness, written by Sri Chinmoy, dramatized by Budsamudra Knox, with music by Kanla Awa. The Mughal Emperor Baba was kind, generous, and powerful. Once while he was away from his kingdom, his step-grandmother incited one of his cousins to stand against him. This particular cousin made friends with the chief of the army and a few important figures in the capital. When Baba tried to return to his kingdom, his whole army fought against him. They wouldn't allow him to come back. But Baba had quite a few followers outside his kingdom, and they helped him fight against his own people. Baba was so great and powerful that eventually he won the battle. After he had won, Baba went and knelt down before his step-grandmother. He said to her with folded hands, "I don't hold anything against you. If a mother likes one son more than the other son, what can the less favoured son do? The mother should love all her children equally, but if she does not, the ones that are not in favour must not feel sorry for themselves. They should bear the same love for their mother as the ones who have her favour. So I don't hold anything against you. You have done the right thing, according to your light. Now let me have peace of mind." Then he placed his head on her lap and fell asleep. A few hours later, Baba woke up, only to see the main culprit, his cousin, standing in front of him. He had been arrested and brought to Baba by the emperor's loyal followers. Baba stood up and embraced his cousin. Then he said, "You are at perfect liberty either to stay with me for the rest of your life or to leave my kingdom. If you leave my kingdom and want to live elsewhere, I will cover your expenses. If you want to continue here, you are free to do so. I feel no ill will toward you at all." His cousin said to him, "Baba, I want to stay. If I leave, people will try to kill me. Not your favorites, but those who helped me fight against you will try to kill me in order to make you feel that they are your friends. So I want to stay here. I know you will never kill me. More than that, I know your forgiveness and compassion will be my eternal friends, and that you will eventually give me a high post." Baba then gave him a broad smile of forgiveness and assurance. Our second story is entitled God is in Everyone. written by Sri Chinmoy, dramatized by Budsamudra Knox, with music by Kanala Awa. There was once a very poor family. The father was a tailor who could barely support his wife and son. When the father became a victim of cancer and died, the poor mother found it very difficult to support her 8-year-old son. There were no relatives who could help. She used to tell her son, "God is kind. He is giving us a special experience. God will change our fate." Then, oh God, the mother also fell very sick. The young boy was very upset, and the mother tried to console him. "God is so kind. He hears all our prayers," she said. The son asked, "If I write a letter to him, will it reach him?" The mother said, "Yes, if your letter is sincere, then God will respond." He asked, "What is the address?" She said, "You just address it to heaven." The son wrote, "Dearest Father, my earthly father passed away a short while ago, and now my mother is very sick. We do not know what we did wrong in our previous lives to deserve this fate, and we have not consciously done anything wrong in this life. Please help us." It was addressed to the Supreme Father in heaven. He went to put the letter in the mailbox, but because he was very short, he could not mail the letter. And then a tall man came by. The boy said, "Can you help me?" The man said, "Certainly." The man looked at the letter addressed to God in heaven. He asked, "Can I read your letter?" The boy said, "Yes." The man did not have the heart to laugh. He started shedding tears, and then he gave the boy some money. The boy said, "But you are not God." The man said, "No, but did your mother not teach you that God is in everyone? Can I come to your house to see your mother?" The little boy said, "Alas, how will we feed you?" The man said, "Do not worry. I am just coming to see your mother because she is sick." The man was a member of an organization that did good things for mankind. He called a special meeting and read out the letter in the meeting. The members were deeply moved, and they all came to see the lady. They said that every month they would send contributions to the family. So if you have faith in God, this kind of thing happens. While Kanala is changing back to the sitar, it gives me the opportunity to introduce the next story. Sri Chinmoy begins with an aphorism saying, "Oneness is the only need. We can establish oneness only when we become the soulful life of peace and the fruitful heart of love." It's entitled, "Once you realize God, all the cosmic gods become yours." Written by Sri Chinmoy. Dramatized by Budsamudra Knox, with music by Kanala Awa. There was a great seeker whose name was Gandas. A few times he had experienced a vision of his family's presiding deity, and this made him very happy. One day, Gandas and a group of seekers were praying together at the banks of the river Narmada. After some time, a spiritual master came and stood in front of them. He pointed to each one and remarked on their spiritual development. To some he said, "You are ripe, mature, and advanced." To others he said, "You are unripe and immature. You are a beginner in the spiritual life." Gandas was one of the unfortunate ones. When it was his turn, the master told him that he was an immature seeker. He could not believe his ears. He had always thought that he was truly advanced because he had a vision of his presiding deity a few times. He also felt that there were a few among those whom the master had called forward who were not really advanced at all. Poor Gandas was miserable. He went home and prayed and cried the whole night. In the small hours of the morning, he had a sweet dream. In the dream, his presiding deity appeared. Gandas asked her, "How is it that I am not advanced? You have been so kind to me. You have appeared before me a few times, and I thought you came to bless me because I am advanced in the spiritual life." The deity said, "The spiritual master was right. You are not advanced, but that doesn't mean that you will never be advanced in the spiritual life. You too can be a great spiritual master like that master, but you have to be initiated first. A Muslim mendicant has come to your village. Everybody thinks that he is a simple, ordinary mendicant, but he is a great spiritual master. Let him initiate you." The deity's words gave Gandas the shock of his life. He said, "Initiation? I need initiation? And from a Muslim? He's filthy. He only takes a bath once a month. I can't go near him. He smells. I can't have him as my master." The deity said, "Then you will always remain unrealized. If you want to advance and become spiritually mature, if you want to have boundless peace and joy, then go to him for initiation." For a long time that morning, the seeker argued with himself. Finally, he decided to go to the Muslim teacher. He went and stood before him with bitter anger, inner disgust, pride, and, at the same time, terrible fear. Then he saw something which puzzled and confused him to no end. The Muslim master was lying down by the banks of the river Narmada with his feet on a wooden statue of Lord Shiva. Gandas said to himself, "Look at this villain. How dare he place his feet on our cosmic Lord Shiva? Lord Shiva is one of our trinity. He is deliberately insulting me because he knows I am a Hindu." To the Muslim master, Gandas said, "I will never become your disciple." He was furious. The Muslim master said to Gandas, "My boy, I have not come into your life to confuse you. I know what you are thinking. Now, do me a favor. Remove this wooden statue of your Lord Shiva. Place it wherever you want to." Gandas grabbed the statue and placed it quite a distance away. To his amazement, the statue started walking like a human being and went back under the feet of the Muslim master. Gandas was astonished and shocked at the same time. The Muslim master said, "Come, you hold the statue and let me go away." Gandas held the statue while the Muslim master walked about 200 yards and then stood still. The seeker felt compelled to bring the statue to the master, but he argued with himself. He said, "No, I won't go." He felt a terrible pressure from within, and also an inner command from the statue itself to go to the Muslim master. But he repeated to himself, "I won't go to him. I won't accept him as my master." Gandas put the statue on the ground, and the statue quickly ran to the master. So once again, the master lay with the statue at his feet. What could Gandas do? He was puzzled. He thought, "If I don't take initiation from this Muslim master, then I will never realize God. But this man is deliberately insulting my Hindu God. I must at least ask him why he is doing this to me." Gandas went to the Muslim teacher. Before he could open his mouth, the master said, I will remove all your confusion and illumine you. Once you realize God, the cosmic gods become yours. For a God-realized person, the cosmic gods are like parts of one's own body. It is not beneath my dignity for my hands to touch my feet. Again, I can also touch my head if I want to. I can touch any part of my body with any other part. Now, there is no question of superiority or inferiority, for all parts of my body belong to me. Each limb of my body I claim as my own. In the same way, I claim Shiva as part of my existence. For Shiva to be at my feet is like one part of my body touching another part. Shiva and I are one. Realize God. Then you will see that there is neither superiority nor inferiority. We are all one. Stay with me, and I will initiate you. Once you are initiated, you will go back to the other spiritual master and hear from him that you are far more advanced than all the other seekers who were with you yesterday. Thanks for listening to episode 5 of Inspiration Sounds. It's about time for us to wrap things up here. So I wish to thank my special guest, Kanala, for joining me today and providing us all with some stunning music. And to everyone else, I hope you have a wonderful week and that you'll join me next time for more stories from the heart of the world. I'm Budsamudra. Goodbye.